Hello, I'm Bill Moore, and you're listening to a selected segment of a longer interview with Richard Canny, the former CEO of Think Electric Cars. He and his wife now run their own manufacturing business in Michigan for the vertical farming industry. We talk about the history of Think, the ill-fated Norwegian electric car maker that tragically demonstrates that when it comes to EV startups, timing is everything. The full-length edition of this interview, recorded on May 20th, 2020, is some 37 minutes long and will be available to our patron supporters. And now, Richard Canny. What I heard is that the company originally paid something like $10 million for Think in the late 90s, early 2000 time frame, and then spent something like $100 million engineering and developing the car.
That sounds about right. That next generation platform, I believe, could easily have had in the $50 to $100 million range spent on it. There was tooling, there was a lot of engineering, there was styling. You know, the car was nicely styled, the Think City, such that even when it first went on sale in 2009, let's just say, nobody would have known that it was actually styled in 2001.
Yeah.
You know, because it was, for what it was a kind of elegantly styled, small little city European commuter car.
Well, the little bit that I drove it, I liked it.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, Ford was doing all kinds of, you know, buyouts and packages and things like that for all the extra executives that they had at the time. And I had an opportunity to go and work with Think much more deeply in Norway. So that began the beginning of me. I left Ford and I virtually immediately signed on as the COO and then became CEO of Think in Norway.
Right.
And kind of made a commitment to do it for, you know, 2 or 3 years. My wife and I kept our home in Michigan, but we had an apartment in Oslo. And so I was there for, you know, four or five weeks at a time and maybe came back here for a week and work from home here out of Michigan or something. Went back to Norway again. And,
right.
You know, it was a strange period of time because Norway, with its oil wealth, you wouldn't have even known there was any kind of global financial crisis.
And
you'd come back here to Michigan, it's like the world was ending. I mean, it was just brutal.
I think Norway has what, the world's largest sovereign wealth fund?
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
with, you know, trillions of dollars. Yeah. So Norway was, you know, mostly immune from that. But of course, you know, in terms of investor sentiment, so just as this little car was kind of coming to market again in 2008, 2009, the first thing that kind of happened once I got to Norway and got going by Christmas time 2008 is committed funding that investors had made to, you know, continue expanding the company and ramp up production. Some of them pulled back.
Yeah.
And I don't think, unfortunately, I can name names, but it was a major blow, you know, to the company, where when you've got an investment syndicate like that, it only takes one of the bigger guys to kind of say, hey, you know, things are really, really tough.
Losing his nerve, and that erodes the confidence of everybody else.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think at the time, the company had built about 100 or so units at the factory in Oskorg in Norway.
Right.
And was ramping up. And, you know, there were quite a lot of challenges. The variable cost of the Think City was very high. For obviously the battery was a very expensive.
Yeah, you were using at that time, what was it, lithium, or were you using still lithium metal?
No, it's a sodium.
Oh, that's right, it was a sodium battery. Yes, that's right.
The first 100 or so cars were built with the Swiss sodium high temperature battery.
Yes. Okay. Thanks for refreshing my memory.
And it was great for Norway. You know, it didn't matter how cold it was, the battery, you know, kept its temperature. It unfortunately didn't have a very good power density, right? So it was, you know, the car was kind of felt a little underpowered, and the two replacement battery packs that came in It was a very clever design because the battery was under the front seats, and the intention of the electrical architecture was that the vehicle would be battery agnostic, that you could take a sodium battery or a cylindrical cell battery or a flat pouch cell lithium-ion battery and basically, you know, literally kind of plug and play any of those three batteries. So the number two and number three batteries in that line was the A123 cylindrical cell battery.
Yes, right.
Of which we had a small number built. And then, of course, around 2009 is when Think and Enerdil, or Ener-1, became more heavily linked.
Yeah, so I back got to tour the facility in east of Indianapolis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as part of that, you know, investment group challenge, let's just say, that occurred around the end of 2008, it was clear that for Enerdil or Ener-1 to be able to bring their battery to market, you know, they would need to take a more active role in kind of leading additional investment in Think.
Yeah.
And so the deal was struck, let's just say, for some additional funding. There was a Norwegian debt settlement process, right, to kind of restart the company. So, you know, you could add that to the list of financial restructurings that the company had
another.
Over the years.
Yeah.
So that was that. I think that counts as about a half.
Yeah.
You know, because the I can't recall what percentage the suppliers received of their their receivables, but it was less than 100%.
Yeah.
Right. But it was on the premise that is like, you know, as the world started to kind of collect back together again in 2009 and people started to kind of get back to work, there was an opportunity with a new investment or a larger investment group that included Enerdil now much, much more heavily as the kind of lead investor. And the Finnish company, Valmet, right, which you probably know of over in Uusikaupunki in Finland. And so the decision was made that, and I think it was a good decision, that in order to scale up the company, really, that assembly of the vehicle probably wasn't a core requirement. And Valmet said, you know, that they had a high interest in the electric vehicle market, but they would like to become the assembler of the vehicle as part of their participation. So during the course of 2009, production moved to Valmet in Finland. And that's when the car began production, you know, in higher volume for the European markets, and then that very small number that ultimately came to the U.S.
Here, yeah,
exactly.
Listen to this EV World Future Motion podcast interview in its entirety. Consider becoming a Patreon supporter and help us continue to share this important information with others. Click on Become a Patron button to get started.